Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. Yes, yes, yes. Full-blown Sunday episode. So excited. It's been so long. What are we, boxing now?
We're a little boxing, yeah, if you don't mind.
That's a good intro to you. This is John Thrasher. I'm Darren Karp doing.
Oh, hi.
We don't even know if you can see us on video if you're a sassy radish on our
That's
Patreon.
That's right.
But welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. So much true crime television right now, which we sort of touched on a little bit in last week's NMR, which was for public feed. So go down and listen to it right now.
Yeah.
Well, after this, of course. But yeah. So excited for this because I feel like it's been a month in the making.
I know it has been.
First off, before we even get to the case, I just want to say, John, thank you for always letting me promote my game show. It's finally here, doing the game show with our good friend Darren Goldberg, January 18th in West Hollywood. If you are a local, hey, if you're not a local, come on by. It's going to be pretty great. Tickets are actually selling. We're almost sold out, which is really exciting. So
please
come have some cocktails and some fun and win some cash. It's on a link in our show notes. It's on January 18th at 8 p.m.
I will not, unfortunately, be able to make it, but I'm actually more offended that I wasn't asked to be like the Vanna White of this situation. Like, what is going on here, Darren?
That's not true. You're lying. I asked you to be the burlesque performer. You said no.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that text message.
Yeah, I think you missed that voice note.
The voice note. We do send a lot of voice notes, which I like.
Well, sometimes it's just like, I hate a voicemail, but sometimes a voice note is appropriate. Sometimes my friends leave like 7.5 minutes voice notes.
Voice
and that's
notes?
Just too long.
No, that's way too long. I used to do that with a friend, but it just was like, I feel like I'm bothering people. You know what I mean? By the way, so it's 2024. It's a brand new year. So many of us are trying to live better, sleep better, handle our anxiety better, maybe even be more creative. I know that's definitely something I want to do for 2024. Well, I have to tell you that, you know, those microdose gummies, which we've talked a lot about on the show, really do help. Darren, I know you love your microdose gummies and how they've helped you. I got microdose gummies for some friends for Christmas recently. I am telling you, they are thanking me all the time. Every time I talk to one of my friends about these gummies, and frankly, just THC, because he's into that type of stuff, he thanks me so much for introducing him to these. They really helped him with his anxiety. And more recently, it's actually also helped him with his sleep, which I maybe need to be looking into because I have seasonal affect disorder. And so does he, frankly. So we're always trying to figure out a way to combat against, you know, these gray, cold winters that we deal with every season up here in the Northeast. But anyway, microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And we want you guys listening to have an amazing year and live your best life as well. Get 30% off of your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code SHAKEN. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com. Promo code SHAKEN for 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com. Promo code SHAKEN. And by the way, we will also include a link to this and all the information you need in our show notes. Well, let's get right into this week's episode.
Yes. So Love Has Won. Yeah. I had originally heard about it just by perusing Max about a month ago before the holidays.
Yeah, it was before the holidays.
Because I had watched it before I even went home and knew it was a 3-part episode on Max. And I was particularly interested in, I think I touched on this before, anytime it's a cult, I'll usually watch it. But usually if it's a female cult leader, I'm like more intrigued because male cult leaders are just like having sex with the 13-year-olds and you're just like, all right. Same old, you know, but women tend to not do that. So I was particularly interested in how this cult was going to kind of arise.
Yeah. And, you know, I know at Oxygen, I was working on a show. I forget what it's called now, something about a cult. And we were doing some recaps and did some episodes with Martinis and Murder, which, you know, by the way, was recently mentioned in Gypsy Rose's book. So shout out to Gypsy for that, yep. Which we talked about on NMR. but yeah, cults are so weird. And we'll talk about it because a lot of, I don't know about you, Darren, you know, did you think that this cult was inherently different from other cults that you've maybe read about or learned about or even talked about here on the show?
I guess and no. I do think there's so many similarities in a lot of cults. You know, certainly you need to have kind of a very vulnerable population in order to grow it, right? You can't just have one person be in the cult. You obviously have to be enthusiastic, charismatic, somehow to grow your belief system or whatever business, really, because it kind of is, it is just a business.
Yeah, we're going to definitely get into that.
We're going to do that. And so Amy Carlson, I was just doing something for Calhoun Foundation.
Oh, okay. I was like, where's that go?
Amy Carlson, who is the subject matter of Love Has Won, you know, young, impressionable. You know, I think she obviously went through a lot of abuse. And so when you're kind of watching the series, I think it had the checkpoints of a making of a cult, very vulnerable population, very just kind of amenable, very lost, needs kind of a direction. And also abuse with Amy. Amy had been abused, had gone through abuse, a lot of neglect and abandonment, and also a little bit of a thin line of kind of consensual crime, which is tough for me. I think we're going to get more into like the philosophy of all of that, but kind of like, did she kill herself? Like, was she murdered? You know, like how much of this is just mental illness, believing that you're doing something good. So, that seemed typical to me. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, yes. In all the ways that you mentioned, the one thing that didn't, at least from this documentary, I don't know if it's true, because remember, just because you watch a documentary doesn't mean you know every detail and every fact of any case.
Because that's coming through their own lens as well.
Yes, exactly. You know, there was obviously some abuse within the cult, within Love Has Won, whatever. But there wasn't like very clear abuse, I guess you could say. There wasn't, you know, again, from what I'm seeing from the documentary, didn't seem like there was like systemic abuse happening over and over and over again. Everyone seemed to be there completely by their own accord, which of course cults are, but like also happy to be there and can go at any time, technically. You know what I mean?
Well, that's, you know, this was sort of in that vein. This is what I had a problem with the NXIVM stuff, because no one seemed to really be forced against their will. I'm not saying they didn't do things that they probably didn't want to do or wouldn't have done under normal circumstances.
Yes, exactly.
But I feel like anyone could have left at any given time. So like, what is the layer of abuse of like psychological, like manipulation? Yeah. And also with that, I'm not sure Amy knew that she was psychologically manipulating anybody, because she also was, I think anytime you believe that you are a god in some sort of respect, which she did.
Yeah.
I definitely think mental illness is playing something in there.
For sure. Oh, 100%.
Some type of extreme narcissism or something. This is obviously a response to trauma to try and protect yourself, which 100%. We find out in the third episode she did. But, you know, just to give like a general summary, because we're not going to go I don't really want to go through every single beat of the show, because it doesn't really make much sense to kind of do that. I just want to talk about like the larger aspects of this. But it's one of those things. It's like every time I start watching a cult doc, the same thought process happens in the first episode. You're kind of like, seems nice. Like it seems dirty and it seems not clean. They're not showering probably every day. They're doing a fuck ton of drugs, you know, but they all seem to be kind of loving and happy and, you know, wee wah wah kind of thing, that you're kind of like, all right, this doesn't seem harmful. This seems maybe a waste of time, but at best, you know, it doesn't seem harmful. And then by the second episode, you're like, oh
God. Yes. I know. And that was I will say too, this documentary is so well done. I'm going to get into some of the things that I thought they did an amazing job with.
Yeah.
Before we, okay, so we won't go beat by beat, but let's talk about the major points of discussion. So the question for you, and I think for me, that I found interesting was I knew nothing about this coming into the documentary other than what you had told me on the show. I didn't know anything about it, which wasn't much. Did you know anything?
No, you know, I saw this as like a banner on, and again, the only thing that I really was, you know, like that caught me was it being a female cult leader. That was kind of it.
Right.
I had no idea what kind of, I knew it was going to be kind of hippie, but yeah. I really didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I did tell you though, that it was hard to eat my dinner.
You did say
in that third episode. Which
yeah.
I think
we'll get to
I was
that.
Right about.
You were totally right. I know. We should post, I'm going to post the screenshot of our interaction, if that's okay with you. About that episode, because I think people would find it kind of interesting, because I'm like, oh boy, oh God.
Yeah, but to, back to your point about it, done, it being done well, they kind of get you in the beginning and, you know, you wrote down this note about the opening sequence where it's like, okay, police are being called, something's going on, what's happening? You're looking around. You don't really sure what you see. It's like sleeping bag with Christmas lights on the bed. And then boom, it's just like, a mummy.
A
blue, gray, withered mummy.
Dead face. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you just explained it so well, because I had the same reaction. You're watching this opening sequence. It's the first thing that you, in the documentary, spoiler alert, by the way, but, you know, we did tell you guys to go watch it. But,
not even the most crazy thing. Like, that's the thing. They should have started with that, because, like, that's half of the crazy shit that they did with that. You know what I mean? At first you're just like, that's a dead body. And then you're like, oh wait, that's a dead body.
It's a dead body. And it's like police body cam footage of them like going through the house. So you don't know what you're about to see. There's this room full of knickknacks and shrine type of stuff and lights. And like Darren was just saying, and then I didn't even know what I was looking at for a second until the music kind of cues you. That's like, oh my God, you're looking at a dead body. And I was like, I don't like that. I will say, and I talked to a couple friends that had watched this, of all the true crime stuff we've talked about that I've seen, you know, and frankly, it hasn't been that gory, to be completely honest. In my work as a TV producer, I haven't seen a lot of those crime scene photos, because by the time I look at stuff, it's blurred out. You know what I mean? So, so for me, it was super fascinating that I guess HBO or Max or whatever went with the dead body face right at the top of the show, not blurred out.
It really is interesting, because now that you say that and we're talking about it and just holding on this beat for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a weird way, I felt like the whole doc, I was waiting to see that again.
Yeah.
Like,
me too.
I was like, I need to really process what I'm seeing here. Like, as much as I don't want to see, it's like, well, when is that going to come back? And it never really did.
Yeah. No. Well, the very end though,
the very end.
It didn't come back though. The rest of the episode,
it never
series.
Came back in terms of that shot, because she.
Oh yeah, that
like,
shot. You're right.
So much, like that shot had never come back, and I was like, I want to pause on this to just be like, take it all in, and it's a very macabre feeling.
It is, and can I add one more thing to that as well, and then we can definitely keep going. Is, I think one of the most weird, freaky feelings I got by the end of this series, despite everything that happens, and we'll get through some of it here in a second, was that her state, knowing what she went through, how she passed away, everything, again, we're going to get to the colloidal silver of it all in a second, but knowing that that's what her body looks like, and how it's so similar to like literal Egyptian mummies that you see in history books and like all the other kind of religious type of mummified remains that look almost identical to that, really kind of freaked me out.
Well, let me tell you that colloidal silver, because Nadine told me this, is something that you can buy online. You know, you're supposed to take like a droplet of it or something. I mean, I've never taken it, but you know, Nadine and I watched this together and she's like, that is like a vitamin supplement. Like it's in that aisle, but you're only supposed to take like a dropper of it, not gallons of it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, yeah, that was very shocking, the opening sequence. Let's just quickly go through a couple of things that the first episode and even the second episode, I think, got into. You know, we hear a little bit in the very beginning the cast of characters of people that participated in this documentary and how they were recruited. And
That was the best part, by the way.
Totally.
Getting insiders and exciders, and it was...
Yes.
That was good, yeah.
The documentary really did the due diligence. And like Darren kind of touched on the very beginning of this episode, it became very clear to me, more so than maybe even any other documentary that I've seen in terms of cults, which I haven't seen that many of them, so, you know, take that for what it's worth, but it's so clear that everyone has intense trauma that is specifically connected to their family. It's the abandonment thing, Darren. You nailed it right there with that
at the top.
I mean,
family or guardian or any sort of adult figure. I mean, not to jump to something else, but just to reference Natalia Grace, obviously that was not biological parents. You know, that was orphanages and whatever and being tossed around and a whole other type of stuff. But it is kind of amazing how much of this is really just childhood trauma. Like
100%.
It is kind of incredible.
And the abandonment thing is like so very clear. I'm going to get to, I have some notes on that I want to mention in a second about that. And specifically, it was so fascinating that almost every single person you could tell found purpose in this cult.
It's just why it was like a normal cult to me. You know, like you need people totally. Like that to kind of buy in, these wayward kind of souls who will kind of believe anything. I mean, and that's what's sad too. You know, like there's nothing in them to be like, this doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like this innocence, but also a little bit of like responsibility that they should be having that they just don't have.
They don't have in their lives without it. Exactly. And like, you know, listen, we don't need to get into a very intense philosophical debate about religion. This isn't the show for that. But I will say, you know, it led to discussions with my friends, and I saved it with you, of course, for the show, about what is the line between religion as we know it, of any type, organized religion of any type. I'm not narrowing it down to one or the other, although I'm sure you could probably make comparisons about that type of thing. What is the difference between religions and cults? I mean, they literally are following the same types of rules here.
Well, John Stewart or someone's going to correct me, that someone said the difference between religions and cults is that the cult leaders are alive and the religious leaders are dead. And that's
hard
not
to,
that far
hard
off.
Hard to argue.
That's you know, that's not that far off. So I think both require the same thing, which is their constituency to have faith that what they're saying is correct, because obviously there's not like any real world evidence for that stuff.
Yeah,
you have
totally.
To have faith, you know, that's why the word faith kind of came in.
Yeah.
But I think that's what makes it really hard, because I don't think there is that big of a difference from being who we are to being who they are.
I know. That's my point. I just kept thinking that. I'm like, I kept trying to filter everything through what is crazy about this, or why is this in the documentary? And I kept coming back to like, it sounds crazy because they're just doing this on their own accord with a group of people, with a human walking around, to your point, to your quote you just made. But yeah, I'm not seeing a lot of differences. And that connects. Oh, go ahead. Did you have something else?
No. I wanted you to connect it, but I was going to get to like, that's what's so hard too, is like, and I don't want to keep jumping around because we have to get to it. But like, these people are like, I'm going to say knowingly watch a person deteriorate in front of their eyes and essentially be poisoned. But them just being like, oh, well, she's using up her energy because the galactics need her to use her energy. You know, it's like
the galactics.
You are not capable of any sort of like reality thinking right
that's
now.
The biggest. Yeah, that's true.
You know, and like, I feel bad for you. I just feel bad. Like what you're saying is objectively nuts.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, from a psychological like testing standpoint, yes, it is a mental illness, I'd say.
Well, at least, you know, something here, it's funny because last night I was watching Seinfeld with my friend who had never seen it. I'm showing him one of my favorite episodes, and Jerry's trying to pass this lie detector test. So he goes to George Costanza to be like, you know, you're the best. Like, how do I teach it? And George is like, it's like teaching Pavarotti how to sing. Like, you know, someone asking Pavarotti, how do you make me sing like you? And he's like, it can't be done. And then Jerry's about to leave. He's like, George's like, remember, it's not a lie if you believe it. And like, that's true, right?
That's a famous George line, yeah.
Like, yeah, a famous George line, but even look at anything going on today. I mean,
no,
I
it's true.
To even whip yeah. it out, but by politics, you see this really clearly. Doesn't really have to have any evidence really based on anything. You just have to really believe that it's true for yeah. you to kind of yeah. go for that. And I go think that's it. What these.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. Yeah. 1,000% clearly that's what this was. Now, speaking yes. of the Galactics, for those who didn't watch the show who may be following along kind of blindly here, the Galactics are this telepathic group of people who are mainly dead.
Presence, yeah. dead people.
Who are guiding.
Yeah, they're like ghosts, but I think that they have a higher power. They're like yes. closer to God, I think. They're kind of these spirits that God speaks through to tell them what to do.
What to do. Those people, by the way, are
some
led,
are alive.
Some are alive, including Donald Trump. This is, I'm just reporting from the documentary.
Yeah.
There were several other celebrities and well-known figures in history, but the one that leads the most and leads Amy, the cult leader, the most is Robin Williams.
Right.
Now, I just was so fucking annoyed by this because Robin Williams is such a treasure. You know, he left this earth, unfortunately, in a very tragic way. And to tarnish his name and his reputation with a show, with a documentary like this was really annoying to me. I want to give everybody, you know, I'm not saying any spirituality is right or wrong. This is clearly a mess.
It took me out of the dot though. Cause I was
took me out
like,
of it. Yeah.
I literally was like, are they joking? Like I said yeah. that out loud. And like, obviously you have to suspend belief at what people usually think in cults. Like,
right.
Well, of course I'm going to marry right. him. I'm 13 and he's 58 and he's a God. So of course.
So obviously.
Like, yeah. So obviously this is what I meant to do. But like yeah. when they were like, yeah, and Robin Williams, and I think like Charlize Theron was one of them, like Michael Jordan, Prince, David Bowie. It was like, what?
And by the way that they tell you this in the documentary is they have a literal, like, you know, in fifth grade when you would cut out people's faces from magazines and like Mod Podge them onto a piece of paper
like
to make
collage.
It a collage.
Yeah.
That's how, that was like their shrine board to these Galactics. And they reference Robin Williams over and over again. Now, one of these people in the cult.
I don't want to laugh because that's a belief. Like, I don't want to laugh. It's just.
I know, we're
so
telling the line
out
here.
Of this fucking, yeah, it's like so out of this realm that you're just like, I can't believe there's people who believe this.
And one of the followers that was following Amy, I'm calling her Amy, I know she's Mother God, that's what she calls herself. To
we
me, she's
call
Amy.
Her Amy. Yeah.
And, you know, this person is taking notes about all of the things that Amy would say all day long and da-da-da, and one of them was like, Robin said to, make sure she takes her medicine. Robin said to make sure, you know, she showers today. And it's like, it was just aggravating me because I'm like, leave Robin Williams the fuck up. Let the man rest in actual peace, please.
I mean, there's that. And there's just like so much therapy. I'm like, oh my God, these people are so detached. They can't.
Oh, I know.
Just say to themselves, this person should shower today. They need to like create another alternate reality in order for that to be true. Cause they don't want to have any power over themselves. It's
wild.
It's very odd. Can we go to basically where she starts to have a downfall, which is essentially this guy that she meets, of which she meets several. There are, you know, they discuss Amy in a relationship with a much older guy when she's like in her 20s, I think. And I want to say he's probably in his like 60s.
He looks to be in his 60s. Yeah.
It's hard to say, let me just tell you, when you're watching this, because Amy, who I think is actually gorgeous, is only 45 when she passes away, which is super young. But throughout the doc, it's like she looks young and then all of a sudden she looks ancient.
I know, it's true. She really like hits a wall when it comes to this stuff.
Well, yeah, because she's like poisoning herself. So there might have been trauma there with that first relationship. She escapes her home life.
Yeah.
But they do talk about this guy that essentially is the main husband, father creation, this guy Jason. What a winner.
Yeah, and you know, he's clear, right? And we see him on with a ankle monitor on, so he's on some sort of house arrest. By the way, they never really resolved that. They never said why he was on house arrest, which I thought was so weird. I kept waiting for that at the end.
Maybe they couldn't. I don't know.
Maybe it's an active situation. I don't know. But this guy, you know, he's on meth and he, you know, she leaves him and she says, if you're truly meant to be, you'll come back to us. And then he does.
I mean, all of these people, there's like mentions of it, but the entire time these people are.
Oh, yeah. They're on
hallucinating and drugs. Right. I mean, the entire time. Like, I don't think there's ever really a day that goes by that these people aren't tripping out on something.
Yeah. And this guy, Jason, is, you know, her main caretaker, essentially. He's calling all the shots as it pertains to her, and everybody else is meant to fall in line. So he comes along and they really start to, I think, start making money, not necessarily because of him, but essentially they're doing these live streams, these last, you know, by the way, this is a very relevant case. This was only 2017 and beyond.
They still have a YouTube channel.
YouTube channel, I think, is still up. So they're doing these live streams. They're asking for money. People are sending them the money. I will say at this point is when I was like, I got a little bit worried, and tell me what you thought about this, where I was like, this is a documentary about things that happen. This is what a documentary does. But it also made me worried that is this documentary giving people a place to go and then check out and then also become a part of this cult, and B, giving them the idea that they could make money by, you know, being a cult leader? Because let's face it, they had several hundred, $500,000 essentially sitting in a bank account. You know, who would want to walk away from that if you don't have anything else going for you?
I mean, isn't that sort of the point? I mean, I feel like cult leaders are in it either to make money or probably have sex with girls. I mean,
there's always something like that. Yeah.
Right. Under control manipulation. I mean, I think, what's his name? Keith, from Nixium. Keith.
I can't remember his last name.
Can you look it up?
Go ahead.
Keith Raniere. Got it. Keith Raniere. Okay,
there you go.
I wanted to get his name right. Like, he created, it's like Scientology. It's like they created books. You got to buy these volumes. And then you got to do this. And it's like, well, we're going to hawk our colloidal silver because we need money to like feed ourselves as opposed to like just like actually getting jobs. I think that's sort of the point. I mean, I think in general, and I'm, you know, biased, I think in general, like religious things like that are a business first and foremost.
Yeah.
They got to make money.
Well, and there's people that, like, you know, they were clearly finding out that were listening to what they had to say. And then there's this whole thing of like, you know, when does it go from I have my own thoughts and feelings and here are a couple of them, and I'm just simply a person that is doing my own like hippy dippy thing, to a full blown business where you do daily live streams, where you take every thought you had and you start to probably come up with other thoughts. And maybe you don't even believe some of these thoughts by the end.
I mean, this is how like QAnon fucking starts. You know what I mean? Right. It's one little thing. And then it's just like,
yeah. And you know, it's just, yeah. So anyway, I just thought the whole live stream part of that was extremely bizarre.
Well, they still have the live stream. I mean, that's
Which they're still doing.
That's what's so like aggravating in all of this is like someone died, and instead of you know, they view this whole thing is like, they view it as a good thing. And we're going to get into Amy's deterioration right now.
Yeah.
Viewed as a good thing. They willingly, maybe willingly, not knowingly, took part in her detriment and deterioration.
Yeah.
Realize that they're making money, continue it. I think these people are so devoid of any of like being able to like really handle reality that as long as they're making money,
that's what I mean.
Keep their lifestyle. Like, why question it?
If they're being fed and they're alive and frankly, they're able to probably get the highs that they were getting. Yeah. Then they're, what else is there to do? So at this point, you know, by about mid second episode, maybe the end of the second episode into the third, Amy really starts to deteriorate. Like Darren was saying, she kind of goes from young and, you know, just kind of doing drugs to she really looks like she hits a wall. She's drinking a lot, by the way, too.
She's like, it looks kind of like she's raisining up, like she's so dehydrated. Her whole body is so desperate for any type of
nutrient. That's a good point.
Because all she's drinking is like colloidal silver and alcohol.
Yeah.
And clearly she has and drugs. And I can't even imagine that, like feeling good. Like I can't even imagine that.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, but remember the whole point was like, she didn't even care that she wasn't feeling good because she was ascending. This was the next step in this journey of passing away and becoming this religious figure. And I will say the part that really broke my heart was there was apparently a little bit of a moment really towards the end there where she was like, should I go to the hospital? And everyone's like, no, you said never that you never go to the hospital. And they are,
and her,
so
like, calling her sister. Like, I feel like she had some moment of clarity being like,
totally.
Hey, we all took this a little too far, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, she says that or something, right? She's like, was this all like, you know, meant, not meant to be? And, you know.
Yeah, I think so. And what's also annoying is I'm blanking on the two girls' names, but like, you know, they were like, colloidal silver doesn't make you turn blue. You know, that, so many things like that doesn't make you do that. And then
the very
literally
next scene,
like the very next thing, she's like, she's bluer and silver. She's like silver.
It was shocking. Like, I was like, you know, in the very beginning, you kind of see, yeah, okay, yeah, there is a little like blue hue to her skin. And you see it progress worse and worse throughout the episode. And I'm like, wow, that's not even, that mummy face that you saw isn't even just from being dead. She was just blue. That's kind of scary to think about.
And all of this is going on and they're like nomadic. They need to leave wherever they are all the time. They never settle.
Right.
They have to constantly move around, which is gotta be wild for someone who can barely pick herself up off the ground.
Yeah. And by the way, the Galactics are telling them to do this with her. So it's not just like they want to move around. It's the Galactics telling them where to go.
Right. And no one ever questions why, for what purpose.
That's, yeah.
On. They're just like, yep, that makes sense. We're going to go do it. And I think this is ultimately where the bad deterioration goes. Amy does eventually officially ascend and pass away. And what do they do with the body, John?
They, well, before we get to that really quickly, the way that they were talking about her ascension, they would get on these live streams and they'd be like, well, today's the day. Mom is ascending.
Ascending. Woo! I know. And they were like, so stoked. They're so stoked that she ascended.
Nothing has changed
in their lives.
Such unbelievable delusion. It was like really, it was really shocking. So yes, she dies in the hotel room. And instead of course, calling the authorities to replace her body, take her body to the family, which of course they never would want her to do.
No, of course not. Well, the Galactics wouldn't.
That's true. That's right. Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing. They took her body first out to a camp in Oregon and expected, are you ready for this, that the Galactics were going to pick her up in their UFO spaceship. Now,
I love when it didn't happen. And they were just like, well, okay.
And by the way, they think that the spaceships are clouds, babe. Like, what are you talking about? I will say this about the spaceships thing. You know,
they were looking at the clouds and they'd just be like, oh my God, look at the beautiful Galactics. I'm like,
they're like, they're here. They're here to take mom. And I'm like, that's a cirrus cloud, babe. Like, no, that's a storm coming in. No, but I was like, you know, I will say this, a couple years ago, even just a couple years ago, I would say, yeah, spaceships, they don't exist, but I think they might. Now, are they the same spaceships that are coming to get mom? No. But
they're only the spaceships that can be photographed in grainy photography, even though we have 8K.
Right.
The only ones show up in grainy photography. That's it.
So anyway, spoiler alert, the spaceships did not come and take mom up into the sky, which they literally believed that was going to happen.
They were just clouds.
And also, spoiler alert, there was weather. Yes. And so Jason, in the middle of the night with one other guy, doesn't tell anybody else what he's going to do. And he takes her body back to Colorado, which, of course, moving a dead body across state lines, huge felony, huge, horrible thing. Like, you don't do that.
But I love that that didn't even like occur to them at all. Like, again, it's just this like deep, insecure narcissism where all they can think about is just their plan. I mean, this is always what we talk about. I feel like on Shaken and Disturbed, we're just like, oh yeah, we need money. So I guess we'll just kill our wife for insurance money. You're like, how do you get there?
It's complete.
Why is that the first step?
It's complete incivility. They don't care about society around them. They don't care about a law. They don't care about what it takes to sort of exist in a free society like this. All they care about is their money and part of the, and their highs and everything else. And part of that system is making sure that she's taken care of in a certain way that will continue to make this cult or religion, whatever they describe it as, sustainable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they bring her back. Obviously, we see what happens in the episode, which is the guy that was running their money back in Colorado while they were in Hawaii and Oregon and everything, saw the body, brings them into his house where he was running money, which he didn't participate in this documentary. So, but we have to be careful because he didn't.
But he was sus for us. Yeah, he was sus.
Very sus. I think that's fair to say. Very sus. But drained all the bank accounts once he found out that she had passed away and turned them in. And that's pretty much
it. You can tell he's a good guy because he drained the bank accounts.
You think so? Or are you being sarcastic? I can't tell. Sarcastic. Okay. I was like, what do you mean by that? But yeah.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to be like, hey, this is going on. It's another thing to drain the bank accounts and then do it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I think you're not necessarily doing it out of, because you're a good person
that you really want to make sure people get their money back.
I don't, outside of them, you know, displaying false information, of which I think people should know that they're displaying false information and that they're touting something that's false. I do agree with that. You know, public shame can go a long way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're violating anyone's rights here.
Well,
that's what's so difficult. I mean, yes, dead body across state lines. Yes, I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about in general. Like,
you're right.
I don't know.
You're right. They're in terms of the money and everything, like if people are paying money for
to be in that cult now.
Yeah. If the people are paying money for whatever service that they're getting and they're happy, there's not really a lot to say to that. But yes, of course, that was the thing that really annoyed me. Actually, no one is charged in the desecration of this body. I mean, I just keep thinking about Amy's family who, you know, tried to get her to come back and were trying to help her and like, just kind of accepted eventually, I think at one point that she was a part of this situation. And like, if I'm in her family and I know that they did that to her body, like took it to camp and was maybe going to set it out on a river and was like running around with a dead body all this time, not knowing that, you know, the family not even knowing that she had died yet, I don't think. It's just somebody should have. And by the way, did the police even know any of this happened? Because they dropped the charges before this documentary ever came out. So,
well, it is like negligence, but at the same time, like, she was an adult when all this was going down, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
I can only imagine what the families feel, and just a complete lack of control, because they couldn't have done anything. You know, they couldn't have really kicked. They couldn't have forced her to do anything she didn't want to do. And
right. She
was volunteering to be the lead. I mean, she started this whole cult, you know, and everyone else, like, they could have walked out the door right there. She didn't chain people anywhere. And so that's what's so, even though it's obviously icky and something is wrong and objectively weird at best, I think, the question is just like, charged of what?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Like, did a murder happen? No. Yeah. But yes.
And it's like this. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you made a really good point when you were texting me that. It's like someone died that probably shouldn't have died. But who's to blame? I mean, there's no one really to blame.
What am I charging? Yeah. And like, I imagine wanting to charge Jason, like certainly charging him taking a dead body across state lines. And like, but she didn't take anything that she didn't want to take.
Yeah. It's a tough one. That's for sure. I want to say one other thing before I forget about Amy, before we move on to basically the epilogue or the aftermath of what happened with this episode, with the series. You know, during that live stream portion, there's a moment where she's on Facebook Live and she's well on her way to deteriorating. This is part of their routine. And on her Facebook Live, she only has like 7 or 8 followers, like online at that point, like watching her live. And she says, I made this note as soon as it happened. And she goes, why does everybody hate me?
Yeah.
And it was fascinating because here's this woman who is the leader of a cult, who calls herself God, who has what, 10, 15, 20 people in this house that are serving her every single need. And she has half $1 million in a bank account.
Yep.
And because 7 people showed up to her live stream, which is not what she's used to, she thinks, quote unquote, everyone hates her. Is that not the definition of childhood abandonment trauma?
I it's so right. I mean, it was so telling because you're like, yeah, this is not what a God acts like.
No, exactly. And then you see her behave differently.
This is a child and I feel bad because obviously, like, she didn't ask for it. You know, I think I think a lot of people need to come to terms with the fact that their childhood wasn't their fault, but it is now their responsibility. And that's really, 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 really difficult for a lot of people. It's difficult for anybody.
Absolutely.
So I don't blame her, but I think that's what that is. I think that is them not being able to face it and wanting to take their own 100%. Personal responsibility for things. So it's easier to say the Galactics are telling me to do this, right. You know, as opposed to being like, yeah, I need help.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So wrapping up this insanely interesting, fascinating documentary.
Happy you watched it.
Yes. We see what happened after her, you know, basically the dissolving, I guess you could say, of Love Has Won. Two of the girls that were kind of like the main kind of, what do you call
Gen Z social media stars. Yeah. They were like funny.
Yeah, they were kind of funny. It's scary at times, but kind of funny. One of them reunites with her mother.
We see kind of at the end.
Yeah, which is like, I want to say great. I think the mother who participated in the documentary seemed happy in a photo. So that's good. I'm like, good. That's a healing, probably healing for her. The other girl who was like the other kind of second in command or whatever, you were riding along with her in her car. She's pulling up to her family home for what I think is like the first time. And like, this is what I mean about this. The producers of this documentary are so smart because I think they knew they were eliciting the response. And it was such a fascinating response. They said, okay, you haven't seen your family, you haven't seen your mom in all these years. What is the first thing you're going to ask them when you walk in the door? And there's a long pause. There's no cutaway. This is all one take. And this might just be the producer in me, but still. And you see her driving, and she's driving along, and it's a very, very tight close-up of her face. And you can see her kind of thinking. And the question that she wants, the first thing that she wants to ask is, do you miss me? And I thought, if that has been on your mind, or the motivation behind everything that you've been doing with this situation for so many years, again, just to my point about the Facebook Live thing, does that not scream, I need somebody to miss me? I have trauma. I have been through something.
Or it's like, I can only think about what anything is affected by me.
Oh, that's true. Like maybe it's kind of like
I'm not thinking about all the pain thing. I put my parents through. I just want to know, like, how great am I? Like, how much did you miss me?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it, but
I think either of those scenarios still comes from the same place.
I agree. It definitely comes from, you know, the abandonment situation.
Yeah. And like a lack of security. It was it's a really, really interesting story and one that I had never heard of. So that was what made it particularly interesting. And I still don't know how I feel about no one being charged. I don't know.
There was the other woman that was the very, very thin woman who showed up with her kids, and then eventually someone came and took her kids away, I think a family member, so that she could just participate. I think her name was Erin, reunited with her children, which I want to say is good.
And that's the thing. Like, remember, Amy abandoned her fucking children just like she felt like she got abandoned. Right. So these cycles just always play out. We didn't even mention that, but she abandoned her own kids.
Well, that was the very last thing I wanted to mention as we wrap up this week's episode is, I was going to ask you if you could think of the one time I cried during this documentary. And it happened at the very, very end of the episode when they were saying, you know, what everyone's updates were. And Amy's son, who is, you know, in college or whatever, is studying microbiology in Germany. And I was just like, so fucking relieved and happy to hear
that he's okay. Yeah, that he's like,
not only that he's okay and that he's doing something great with his life, but what seems to be some sort of generational trauma through his mom and whatever she thinks that her mom did, and maybe vice versa, you know, continuing on, was broken in that scenario. He was able to.
He's been through therapy and have been able to.
Yeah, exactly.
That to stop that. But yeah, that's. You're right. Yeah. That is a good.
I was very happy. It made me cry a happy tear. So anyway, that's Love Has Won, you guys. Let us know if you watched it, what your thoughts are, what you think about our thoughts about it. You can hit us up on at Jay Thrasher at Carpe Darren in our Facebook group. And of course, on Patreon, if you are a Patreon member.
That's right.
Darren, let's do some listener shout outs.
Okay.
You should maybe do the first one here.
Well, in my opinion. Well, we got if you listen to our NMR, you'll know this. This will be just a repeat. But we actually, John, our old show, Martinis and Murder, got shouted out on Gypsy Rose's ebook. You know, Gypsy Rose has kind of been in the spotlight.
Released,
in the past,
it's called.
Release, yes. Two, 3 weeks now. Top of the year has kind of been the Gypsy Rose year so far. But we got mentioned, Martinis and Murder got mentioned in the, I believe the...
The preface
on the book cover, like for the ebook.
Which
was really cool. Let me see if I even have the, I think you texted it to me.
I did.
It was, yes, Dr. Phil devoted a full season of his podcast to Gypsy Story, calling it the killer thorn of Gypsy Rose. And the case has been featured on dozens of other popular podcasts, including Martinis and Murder.
Hey, remember that little show?
So that was really cool. So
yeah, that was cool.
Shout out to Gypsy Rose. I still have to finish the special on Lifetime, but I definitely want to.
Yes. And I want to give a shout out to Amber in our Facebook group for actually letting us know about this. I don't know how I missed it. It was up for like a day in our Facebook group and we were just about to record and I noticed it and I was like, oh, that's good to know. Thank you, Amber, so much for being on the lookout and letting us know about it. So super duper shout out to you.
Well, finally, guys, this was like, this case threw John for a loop. He couldn't eat. This case threw me for a loop. I couldn't eat. But we want you guys to consider supporting us on Patreon. It's a great way to get tons of bonus content. We have all kinds of goodies on there, including photos, polls, bonus episodes. You get cool fucking gifts. If you join our top tier as a Sassy Radish, you get this podcast episode ad-free in video form.
Ooh. That's right.
Check it out at patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed or click the link in our show notes.
That's right. And by the way, just a quick disclaimer. So we did a recap of the Max show, Love is One. I keep thinking it was on Netflix, but it's not. Next week's episode, just so you guys know, will be our recap of the Natalia Grace Speaks episodes.
Of which?
On ID.
I'm not sure I have any more clarity.
Yeah, maybe there's nothing much to say, but we're going to at least comment on it.
Did you finish it?
No, I haven't even started it yet. I was so wrapped up in Love Has
Won.
Well,
you have to watch it until the very last moment.
I keep hearing about this very last moment again. I'm like, this better be worth it. So we're going to discuss it all. So spoiler alert for next week's episode. If you want to watch it first and listen to our commentary, or if you don't mind hearing our commentary before you watch it, we're just letting you know next week's episode is all about Natalia Grace. And by the way, you can go back and listen to our original recap of the first documentary, which I'm blanking on the name, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. How
there
could I ever
go.
Forget that?
There you go.
Yeah, you can go watch, listen to that. It's in our feed as we speak. Darren, what a fun episode.
Whoa.
I'm glad that some happiness came out of that with Amy's son, if nothing
else.
And
you cried. This one definitely is going to have me thinking. I still don't know where I stand.
I agree. All right. Well, you guys go and check your freshies.
And, you know, check your brake pads without pants. Apparently, you don't need a penis.
We're working on new sign-offs for this year.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.